As always, it's so good to be with you. How are we doing, church? All right, good. Don't forget now, this Tuesday evening at 11:06 p.m., begins the official day of spring, first day. So it's almost here, isn't it? Boy, am I ready, too. Have you adjusted to that one-hour time change yet? You ought to see the 8 o'clock crowd. You think you got it rough, you ought to see the 8 o'clock crowd. Oh, man, I tell you, that hour does make a difference, doesn't it? Well, there's so many readings today that are so powerful, but I want us to focus primarily on the Old Testament reading in Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a great prophet. He was called the major prophet, and he was highly esteemed, that's for sure, by God, because God had his hand on him. And God says, I want you to go and talk to the people of Israel. My people. Are you God's people? Are you God's children? Absolutely. Scriptures teach and confirm that too today, don't they? I want you to speak to my people. Well, here's the situation. The nation was demoralized. They were in a period where a nation called Babylonian. They came in and they basically wiped out the state. They took over the property and then they dispersed the people. That's the way they kept problems down. Think about it this way. How would you feel if somebody told you you got 10 minutes to get out of town and you're not coming back? 10 minutes, that's it. But I need a U-Haul. No, you got 10 minutes. Well, that's how these people felt. And they'd been dispersed all over the world, and it had been several years now. They were missing their home. They were missing their people. All of it. Their hope and their vitality was gone. I guess you could say it like the old saying goes, the people had become as dry as a bone. You ever seen a dry bone? How bleached out it is, and there's nothing on it. It's been picked and everything. Well, that's sort of the preface to the day's reading. But to really get the gist of this, what Ezekiel had to say, you have to look at the first couple of verses to set the stage. And that's what I want us to do as we go into it. God says to Ezekiel, come with me. And in a vision, Ezekiel goes with God. And he goes to where there's this massive valley. It's big. It's really big. And in that valley are the carcasses of people. And they lay scattered everywhere. All there is bones. That's all there is. That's why it's called the Valley of Dry Bones. That's why the story is called the way it is. I like what Ezekiel said. He was up on the top of the mountain looking down the valley at that time. Here's what he said. He said, in every direction there were so many, and how dried up they were. That was the situation. You know, let me ask you, do you ever feel dried up? Do you ever feel dried up with life? You know what I mean. Life circumstances leave you feeling dried up, make you feel lifeless. You can lose your sense of hope and vitality and belief in people too. Some would say that's the world we live in today. Maybe it is. I think it is. What do we do? We just continue to live in the valley of dry bones? Well, no. That's what Jesus is for. I think the thing that really interests me, too, is I think about the story and why the church puts this story where it does in the course of Lent is that sometimes Lent can leave us feeling dry. Because Lent is one of those situations where we are called to reflect on ourselves, to examine ourselves. Our candidates here, they'll be receiving the scrutinies here. That's what we call them. Sometimes when you look inside it, you're not happy with what you see. You're not all pleased with it. So sometimes these types of opportunities, they're not forced upon. These are chosen opportunities. They can still have the same impact that we feel that sense of, man, I got a lot I need to be doing to examine and to grow up my life. That's why it's here. Because God's going to give you hope. Yeah, it's only a couple of weeks away now. We celebrated Lateri Sunday, Lighten Up Sunday last week. Things are starting to change. The mood's starting to change, isn't it? It's not about ashes like it was in the first day when Lent started. Here we are. So God poses a question. He's posing this question to you. He says, can these bones come to life? These dry bones. In other words, can we once again experience freshness, hope, and vitality in the dry places of our lives? Not only in our personal lives, also in the church, also in the nation, also in the world. Can we? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. Absolutely. That's why God's given him this vision to go and tell the people to be a source of encouragement to them. So what can we learn out of Ezekiel's encounter or vision with God that will help us to come out of the valley of dry bones and find a greater sense of meaning and purpose and vitality in life? Three things. First of all, believe that with God, all things are possible. Isn't it amazing when you read, particularly in the New Testament, how many times in the Gospels you hear Jesus say, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. You think he meant it? Well, of course he did. Absolutely. He surely meant it. But this was a tough situation. You know, all there was in this valley is full bones. There was no flesh on them. There wasn't any sign of life to them at all. Would you, if God said, do you think these bones can live again? Would you believe it? If all you saw was a bunch of bones? Well, with God, yeah, it can come again, you know. See, what seems impossible from a human standpoint is totally possible with God. You know that, don't you? You do know that, don't you, church? What did God say in the reading that we heard just a moment ago? When he asked if the bones can come to life, he says this, I have promised that I will do this, and I'm going to do it. And you shall know that when I do it, that I am the Lord your God. What's he getting ready to do? Well, he's getting ready to restore the nation. He's going to return them to their homeland. He's going to make life prosperous. What's he going to do in my life? He's going to give me life and vitality. That's what he's going to do. Can do it? Can he do it? Well, absolutely he can do it. There's not a doubt in my mind that he can do it. We can still have hope, folks. Even in our world today, even though the signs of hope are not found anywhere, even if we got to that point, what you need is this, an utterly indispensable growing faith in God. You got to grow your faith. You got to grow in God. And as you grow stronger in God, the attraction of everything that's dragging you down in this world, it loosens its grip. It can't hold to you. And you hold fast to God. Can these bones live? The second thing is to allow God's word to inspire you. Now, I like this one. You're looking at a valley full of bones. I mean, it would be an archaeologist's nightmare trying to put all those bones back together and figure out what was happening here. What does God say to... He says, Ezekiel, I want you to go down there and preach to those bones. How would you like that? Would you do it? Go preach to the bones. Now, you know St. Francis of Assisi, he preached to animals. At least they were alive, you know. Here we just got a bunch of bones. Go down and preach to the bones. And here's what you're to say to them. God even tells you, hear the word of the Lord. I will bring spirit into you. I will put muscle on you and your flesh will grow. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful? Let me tell you one of the secrets to life. The power of the Holy Spirit the Holy Scriptures cannot be overestimated in life. The word of the Lord is God's word. And God's word is living and it is powerful. God's word not only has life, it imparts life. Have you ever been inspired when you read God's word and it's like, man, that was good? Well, it's imparting life to you, isn't it? Well, it should. Didn't Jesus say that the words that he spoke, what did he say they were? Spirit and life. There's that word life, isn't it? So as my grandma used to say, see, when I was a little kid, I was scrawny. I never took time to rest. I was always running or doing something. She'd always say, you need to put some meat on those bones. You ever heard anybody say that? Come over here and eat some biscuits and gravy here. Fill up, you know, put some meat on those bones. Well, do you need to put some meat in your soul? Is it drying up? If you do, spend as much time as you can in the word of the Lord, and you will not be disappointed. Third and final thing is that God infuses us with life through his spirit. Go preach to the bones. Okay, goes and does. Thus says the Lord. Then what happens? He's in the valley. As he's preaching, he begins to hear some knocking, some rattling, like bones rattling. And before you know it, he hears thousands of bones rattling. Well, what's happening? Tendons, tissue, skin begin to appear on what looked like a skeleton. And now it's become a person. Reminds me of Adam. When God created Adam out of the clay, there he was. He created him, and he lay there on the ground. But there was a problem. What was the problem? He was lifeless. Had no life in him. This is a perfect example of what it takes to be a person. To be a person, you need a body. You got one this morning, don't you? But you need something else. You need a soul. Well, how do you get the soul? Well, what did God do to Adam? He breathed into him, and he came alive. Wow. That's why we uphold the sanctity of life. Because at the moment of conception, body and soul come together. That's why we Catholics are pretty, we're very strong about that. God breathes, and it's the breath of God that gives you life. And the same word that's used, the ruach in the Hebrew, for when God breathed into Adam, it's the same word when God breathed into these bones. Isn't that something? See, God imparts and infuses us with life through his spirit. Isn't that what we heard in Romans today? That's exactly what we heard. It's his spirit. Not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's the spirit of God living on the inside of you, empowering you, enabling you to have life. And that begins at baptism. You know, we've got candidates here that are going to be baptized in a few weeks. We're excited about that. Because it's at baptism, the Holy Spirit is imparted to you. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what our challenge is this. Make room. Make room for the Holy Spirit in your life. One of the biggest misconceptions as Catholics that we have is this. When we're confirmed, we've got all the Spirit we need. Well, in one sense, that's true. But in another, it's not. Because Paul told Timothy, he said, fan into flame the spirit that's within you. What does that mean? You ever fanned a fire? Well, you have to put effort into it, don't you? Same thing. Fan into flame the Holy Spirit in your life. Fill yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more you do, the stronger the Spirit comes. And the stronger the Spirit comes, the more optimistic you are about life. You are filled with life. It's holding on to God. The more we hold on to God, these other things in life, the less hold they have upon us. They lose their grip, so to speak. I like what Paul said in Galatians 5. He was talking about things that we need to do. He said, you've got so much junk and clutter in your life. You got to get rid of some of it so that you can make room for the Spirit. That's what he says. What are we supposed to get rid of? Well, he tells you. Let me give you a few of them. Get rid of impurity. Get rid of rivalry. Get rid of jealousy, selfishness, and envy. And then he says, as you empty yourself of these things, which is exactly what we're doing right now, and then, when you empty yourself of these things, then you open room, make room for the Holy Spirit to work. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you experience what is called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You ever heard of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you a couple of them, because he goes on in Galatians 5 to tell you what they are. Here's the fruits. Here's what you will experience life as you fan into the flame the Holy Spirit in your life. Love. Anybody not want love this morning? Would you ever have hate? Joy. Patience. Kindness. Generosity. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Which one do you want? I know which one I want. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? Feel yourself. Well, I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. Where in your life do you see God's renewing power at work? Where are those areas in your life where you're just beaming, you know? You feel that sense of glowing of the Spirit working in your life and the sense of life and vitality that it brings. And the second thing is this. What are the areas in your life that are dried up? Where are you dried up today? We're all dried up, you know, in certain areas of our lives. And if so, ask God to infuse His Spirit into you. Take out the rivalry, the jealousy, and the envy, and replace it with love, peace, and patience. God bless all of you. I love you.